Wait a couple more minutes until people trickle in a little bit here. I'm expecting a couple more people, I think. So, Irene, what's the news on the return to City Hall, return back to the offices?
Nothing changes, apparently. The email just came out today. So until June 30th, we will kind of stay the course. And, you know, it sounds like there's a group of people at the city that are talking things through. And so as things come up and as things change, I will definitely update you. But the timing was just very interesting to me today. I'm like, oh yeah, now we get this email the next morning.
Yeah.
So, but I'm glad we actually talked it through yesterday. It was just good to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm working on the federal government side on the return to offices as a union representative. We're negotiating with the agency right now and what that'll look like. And the initial plan was to start returning back to the office probably this month, next month. You know, it's about 30 days after we have an agreement on what that would look like. And, you know, again, we're likewise kind of thrown into a little bit of a disarray, not really sure what Omicron is going to do to all that. Yeah. Seems like the other countries it's spiking and going down, but now we're talking about maybe April, somewhere along that time frame.
Yeah.
Or not talking about, but expecting at least.
And that's without another variant coming up. It just seems like every few months we have a new situation that we're trying to address. And so it's hard to feel like, okay, we got this. Like, we know what's going on because it's changing again and again.
Yeah.
Hi, Jessica. Welcome.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, Julie. And hello, Mr. Handelman. All right, shall we begin? Welcome everybody to the Policy and Outreach Subcommittee. I see we might have a couple new faces there, so looking forward to meeting people, and we'll do a quick round of introductions here in a second. This is a committee that's obviously geared toward policy development for the city with respect to Portland Police Bureau and some of the issues that they need to deal with. Specifically, we deal with on the CRC with complaints against the police bureau, and then also some of the use of force incidences. But there is some plenary authority where we can look at other policies as well, or try to develop policies, have work groups in order to get community input. And so that's why we're all here right now. And also outreach. So part of that outreach is certainly bringing people to the table here and discussing some of the work that we'll be doing from the policy perspective, but also finding out where we need to go to reach people where they're available rather than expecting them to come to us. And also reaching out to other stakeholders such as elected officials and perhaps people in other bureaus in order to be able to get a holistic view of what's needed to make sure we have best practices here in Portland for police oversight. So with that being said, I just made that quick introduction since it's the beginning of the new year and we have some new faces, but I think we have enough time where we can maybe go around the room and quickly introduce ourselves. My name is Vadim Mazursky. I've been on the Citizen Review Committee for probably close to 3 years at this point in time. Time flies. Recently I was appointed to a second term, which I think we're doing really great work here, and I'm very proud to be a member of this committee along with the other people that are putting in a lot of time and effort to making sure that we have a viable police oversight entity until the new police oversight board comes into play in the future. Nice to meet everybody. Let me hand it off to Jessica. You're on my screen, so you're next.
Thanks, Vadim. Hi, everybody. My name is Jessica Katz, and I am a fairly new CRC member, and I am happy to see all of you today. Thanks.
All right. Do you want to pass it along, Jessica, or do you want me to?
Yeah. How about Julie?
Hi, everyone. I'm Julie Falk, and I'm a member of the CRC. I think I've been a member for 6 years, and I really enjoy the policy and outreach work, so glad to be here after a little bit of a break.
All right, and Irene?
Irene Konev, I'm with the Independent Police Review. I'm the outreach coordinator, and I support and recruit the volunteers, and happy to be here.
And next, Commissioner Dan Handelman.
I appreciate your formal introduction of my title. I'm not here as a commissioner, but my name is Dan Handelman. I use he, him pronouns. I'm with the group Portland Cop Watch. And I've attended almost every single Citizen Review Committee meeting ever. And before that, I attended PIAC, the old review board meetings from 1992 to 2001. So I've been to quite a few of these kind of meetings. So I'll let you pick the next person.
And I can attest to that. Mr. Handelman attends many of these meetings, all the CRC meetings, of course, but also the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. And for those new in the room, Mr. Handelman has been appointed to the new commission that is going to create the new police oversight board. And they're busy at work right now and have been having a few meetings, which I fully intend to attend as time allows. Mr. Handelman has been working closely with the Albina Ministerial Alliance in police oversight matters, specifically with the Black community, but also in conjunction with the settlement agreement that is between the Police Bureau, the city, and the U.S. Justice Department, as well as the MEACHI, including the Albina Ministerial Alliance. Catherine Lindsay. And Catherine, you might be on mute if you hear me, but I'll read this chat. Catherine says she's glad to be here and get a take in the Bureau on how to reach the community. Princess Unicorn.
Hi guys, I am sitting in on your meeting today. I'm a public policy master's student at Oregon State University, and I'm actually doing my thesis on police use of force and crowd control munitions.
Oh, wonderful. Definitely, if you can, when that is completed, please reach out to Irene and maybe provide her a link with that so she can share that with other individuals in this room. I think that's going to be of great interest to the people on this Citizen Review Committee.
Thanks. I'm just in the beginning parts of it, so it'll be probably another year or so before it's like really rolling, but I've gotten a lot of good information so far.
Great. Good luck. Next, we'll go to Sarah Ames.
Hi, I'm Sarah Ames, she, her pronouns. I'm with the city attorney's office, and my colleague Banshee Reddy and I were hired just a couple months ago as helping to get the city into compliance with the Department of Justice settlement agreement. And as such, we have been kind of checking in on a lot of the different meetings on the topic from all the different angles. So I really appreciate that we have the opportunity to sit in today. And I thank you all for your volunteer service.
Thank you. Good luck in your new role. And Avamchi, ready?
Hello, everyone. I don't have too much more to add to that. Thank you so much for allowing us to sit in and see some of the work that you do. And Avamchi, ready, she, her pronouns, city attorney's office. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Well, glad everyone's here. I appreciate the city attorney's office being here. We'll at some point in time, I'm sure, need some legal advice on some things. So it's good to put a name to a face and a position here. So let's begin with the work ahead of us. This is generally, in my view, and please everyone chime in as to, this is a collective work group and definitely a democratic process here. So everyone has input on what our priorities will be going forward. One of the topics that in last year we spent considerable time on is the body-worn camera review and what different jurisdictions have done with implementing body-worn cameras, the use of body-worn cameras, lessons learned, perhaps some of the difficulties that they've had, as well as a desire to really compare and contrast along different jurisdictions, some close to home, some a little farther away, as to what their policies are, and with an eye toward how those policies have been affecting the community, and if they've received any community input on the use of body-worn cameras, positive or negative. So the first group we spoke with was community police oversight entity in New Orleans. And that was a community group that does have access to body-worn camera footage in their review of complaints against the police bureau. And that we received really good information there, I think, both from some of the challenges that they've had there, some of the experiences. They seem to be a pretty open jurisdiction as far as showing the body-worn cameras, or at least providing body-worn camera footage to the public after an event has occurred, in order to have transparency on that. And so that was the first entity that we spoke with. Then it was the Beaverton Police Department, a little closer to home. They implemented the body-worn cameras a little bit more recently. Same thing, got information there, certain topics that have arisen in the past have been covered with all these entities, including whether police officers get a chance to review the body-worn camera footage prior to providing a statement or after a statement. You know, that has certainly been a community concern so far. And we have seen the differences there between the different jurisdictions we've spoken to as to how they handle it. And they try to explain the pros and cons and the reasons that they decided on particular paths there. And then the last jurisdiction we spoke with was the Gresham Police Department. Again, kind of similar questions, similar topics covered. And the next steps will be kind of vetted at this meeting, and also want to provide an environment where we can discuss priorities as well. I don't want this to overtake any other priorities that people in this room might have, and make sure we have equal time for everybody. So before I kind of delve a little bit more into what we want to do as a team here with the body-worn camera interviews that have been conducted, Julie, do you mind if I put you on the spot here and just kind of get a sense about what was discussed recently with Commissioner Mapps's office, if there was any kind of timeline or anything else that would be pertinent to our work here?
Yeah, sure. Jessica was there too, so Jessica, jump in. But it seemed like there were sort of two things that he emphasized. One was kind of the not urgent timeline, but kind of quick turnaround for a recommendation from the CRC, because they were talking about early February because of decisions that because of their timeline. And then the other thing that he emphasized was just like, you know, these weren't his words, but basically the devil's in the
He might have dropped out
recommendations
there.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, devil's in the detail, and then we lost you for a little bit, or I did.
Devil's in the details, and to the extent to which we can offer specifics with regards to implementation, that would be the most helpful, because that's where the sticking points really are, in his opinion.
Okay, thank
Anything,
you.
Is that
it does. All right, Justin? February seems improbable, but we'll see. excuse me. So the city, I believe it was the fall budget monitoring process, allocated some money for a body-worn camera pilot project. I honestly haven't heard about how that money will be utilized just yet. If anybody in the room knows about that, I think it's a small amount, so it's not enough to equip of the full force or have it implemented directly. So I think it'll be incremental. In the past, the Police Bureau reached out both to the Citizen Review Committee as well as the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing to get input on what those policies would be. I certainly expect that to happen at some point in time, which is one of the reasons why we're kind of talking about it at this point. So I'm not sure. I'll follow up with Commissioner Mapp's office to understand better what the urgency is with the February timeframe. But I think there'll be some small version of the rollout, and then for it to actually be expanded would entail more funding, which probably won't come until about July in the next budget session. But I'm sure it takes time to put those numbers together. So that might be part of the mathematics there. Okay, so let me just kind of lay out my thoughts here about the body-worn camera piece. And then I wanna open it up to suggestions about how we should work toward whatever that recommendation might look like. And also from the members of this committee, what other priorities you'd like to have on the agenda so we can ascertain how to balance the time, whether we need to have maybe some additional sessions separate from our normal sessions to kind of take care of the body camera work or how that needs to progress. I'd really love some input on that. So initially, I want to provide a summary for everybody on the body-worn camera testimony so far from the various bureaus, departments, I should say, around the country that we've received, and also some of the back and forth questions and answers we've had from community members during those sessions. And so understand what the similarities are and what the differences are. And then, you know, from that, we can ascertain at least to what extent we think the similarities are something that would be part of any kind of recommendations that we might have, or if we disagree with those as well, or not as well, if we disagree with some of those. And also what the differences are. I spotlighted one that I know is near and dear to some community members, which is the timing of reviewing body-worn camera footage. And another aspect is the release of body-worn camera footage. When is it done? Is it in a response to a records request? Or I think New Orleans does it at every incidence of use of deadly force. Those sort of things. So there's some difference as to involving the public in some of these body-worn camera footage videos. So I think that's step one is where have we been? What are the commonalities? What are the differences? And then we'll certainly need to meet on a few occasions to discuss that, review policy considerations from the policies from those three groups, but also if people in their own research have some other body-worn camera policies or some other issues that they've come across that they'd like to bring to light so we can have a full and open vetting on all these issues. And the thought is to present that to the whatever recommendations we might have to the full committee. And then have a discussion about that, perhaps a vote about that, and then present it to city council down the road. How does that sound to everybody? And Mr. Hammond said PSEP made recommendations already. They did make some recommendations. They're more of suggestions, and there was also half the form they submitted. And this is all on the PSEP website, by the way, the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. There's been over the last few years, 3 years or so, several recommendations that have gone to the mayor's office. One of them was on body-worn cameras. That was after the Police Bureau reached out. There were some recommendations as to considerations that need to be made, such as such as if an individual was underage, or if it was in a hospital setting, or if it was perhaps a domestic issue that there might be something that the police officer would need to be considered further as to when a camera should be on or off in order to protect the privacy of certain groups. And so part of that is, yes, PSEP did take a look at it. There was a brief conversation about those things, but there was also several questions in that recommendation that were open-ended as to things that would need to be delved in further that hopefully we'll be able to look into to some extent. And of course, we'll be cognizant of whatever recommendations were made that were not open-ended. And then Mr. Hamelman says, typed in, I also would like to briefly touch on the current directives up for review. And I thought the chair asked you to discuss standards of review as well. So I'm not sure how that works with your agenda timing. Okay. So let me bracket that for just a minute. With respect to the body-worn cameras, taking aside the timeline a little bit, because I think we'll need several meetings in order to be able to discuss this and bring it up to a point where we can actually have recommendations and perhaps take a vote on those recommendations before going into the full body. Anything else that we would need to do in preparation for that, do you think?
I am interested in this issue of follow up on our recommendations post appeal that we talked about briefly last night as well.
Okay. And that's the recommendation we make to the police, to the chief of police. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And basically, like, looking at, you know, how can we increase accountability and transparency with regards to our recommendations? So if it's, you know, if we're adding a debrief, for example, like, how can we ensure that we have some measure of information about what happens next, that kind of thing.
Okay. And Irene, remind me real quick, what's the review work group that we have?
Are you talking about the recurring audit work group?
Yeah. Is that, I'm trying to think whether that's the perspective of the recurring audit or if that's a policy work group. I don't want to overstep, but is that our thing or their thing?
Yeah, the recurring audit goes through different cases that we have investigated. So contents of the case cannot be shared or discussed, but the process can be discussed. But from what I understand, I think the recurring audit work group hasn't met in the last couple of months.
Okay.
And I think Sarah has her hand up.
So from a historical standpoint, Irene, is there any problem with us looking into the process of the review and what happens and all that? Is that within our purview?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. Irene's our parliamentarian, so got to ask him. Okay, I agree with that, Julie. Sarah, you have your hand as well.
Oh, I just wanted to say a little bit on the body-worn camera policy. That is one of the new addendums to the agreements, remedies that the city has negotiated with the Department of Justice settlement agreement. And so that's going to be going to council. And I think part of Commissioner Mapp's, you know, urgency in getting, you know, some feedback from you is that, you know, this has to move forward on a number of fronts. One, they did approve some initial funding, as Vadim noted. They also will be approving this, the addendum. There will be an RFP that goes out, a request for proposals to get bids on companies that would provide these actual things and kind of help get the program going. That's got to happen soon. Some of the items that would be part of the policy are subject to negotiation with the Portland Police Association. So you know, and there's very, you know, so a lot of, it has to move forward on a lot of fronts all at once. And so I think that that was kind of his urgency. He'd like to hear your input sooner than later. And, but, you know, this is going to be going on for a number of months. So there will be, I believe they're scheduling it, the compliance officer and community liaison is scheduling a community forum on body-worn cameras to hear more kind of direct public input on the issues. I believe that's scheduled for January 23rd. You know, still hasn't been, you know, all announced, but they're hoping to get some initial public feedback to kind of at the front end of all these efforts in negotiations, but then there'll be ongoing discussions. So I really appreciate your efforts and your research and the ability to join, you know, have your voice in that conversation. I think that's going to be really important. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. So I missed that a little bit. Who was holding the January 23rd conference?
COCOL is arranging that. They are leading it in conjunction with the PSEP, the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. So okay. Thanks.
I'll reach out to COCOL and make sure they add the CRC to those lists. I think if you're on the PSEP list, you'll probably receive notice about that, but I'm not sure if everybody else is. Okay. So Julie, let me cycle back with you on the process review. How would you like to handle that? Would you mind taking the lead on that? And I can assist whether we need to reach out to the chief's office and better understand what happens with that, or and do any kind of follow up. I'll be glad to assist. But would you mind being the lead for that?
I can, but Jessica, I know you're passionate about that. So if you would prefer, I would definitely.
Sure, I'm happy to. And I just want to preface it by saying, like, I feel much like still the new kid on the block, and I know that there have been people working on these issues, you know, time immemorial. So I doubt that I have any new ideas. I just have wonderings, and a lot of them, you know, stem from like the discipline or the remedies that the CRC is able to recommend at the conclusion of our appeals, and how they do lead us or don't lead us towards accountability, which I think is, you know, what we're all after. And, you know, specifically, I'm interested in exploring like an enhanced version or to learn more about the current process for mediation, and like a keen interest in bringing together people who have harmed other people with the people that they've harmed in the ways that are safe and forward moving. And if that is currently happening through the mediation process, what does that look like? And then the question that we had been sort of puzzling through is when recommending a debrief with a superior, that's sort of the end of the beginning and end of a feedback loop. So we can recommend it as a body, as a committee, but we don't know if it happened, when it happened, what happened in that debrief, and did that get us close to the accountability that we all are seeking? So I don't know, Julie, how does that sound?
Not take on work. So if we are divvying things up, I'd be happy to take the lead on the standard of review stuff if we kind of want to think about it that way. You, what she just described, and I can do the standard of review.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Thank you both for stepping forward. And Jessica, I just want to make sure that it's not my connection. Are y'all also getting a little bit of static? Okay, good. It's not just me then. So Jessica, is your the comment you made about people getting together and discussing the impact of the the impact of the event. Is that in the same lines of a kind of restorative justice, or is that similar from that, or different from that?
I would say definitely similar.
Okay. This month, and I just want to throw this out there because there's so many different pieces here, but this month, the Training Advisory Council is making a recommendation on restorative justice. It's on their website. I pulled it down and skimmed it real quick, but it's, I think, about 3 pages on restorative justice and how the police should start implementing that. It might be a little different from how the, you know, the complaint process or something like that might work. But if you haven't heard about that, it might be of interest. The Training Advisory Council will meet this month. They meet by Zoom in the evenings. I don't recall the exact time. They'll be discussing that. I think it's their main piece for their next meeting. And so perhaps there's some means where we can work together on that aspect. If there's something there that they're not covering that you feel would be important, we can add on to it as well. I know that in various times in the past, PSEP and the CRC and the Training Advisory Council have worked together to push forward certain recommendations. And that certainly has more force when we're all on the same page together. But I just wanted to give you an update about that. And Vamshi notes that their next meeting is on Wednesday, January 12th at 6:30. I already have a time commitment for that. I will not be able to attend their meeting, but the recommendation is on their website. And I know, Jessica, we've spoken before on some of this restorative justice as that being a priority for you as well. What kind of, meeting time commitment do you foresee for this? Would you like us to start setting aside time in upcoming meetings to discuss these frameworks, or your thoughts on this, or?
I mean, I think if there's a general consensus that it's of interest to the group, then I would love that. If it's only of interest to me, I'm obviously happy to focus on other priorities that are in the mix right now.
Okay.
I'm interested. I would support it. And I also think along with, how we might pursue changes in the standard of review, I think it's part of maybe some incremental changes that might be able to happen between now and the time that the new board is created. And I think that's really important, because I think that for all involved parties, like having like less of an abrupt change will be better, and to be able to kind of experiment with some new ways of doing things could be really helpful to all involved.
Okay. And Julia, we've discussed this in the past, what that standard review, the recommended standard review was. And I think when I first came on board to the CRC, we met with all the commissioners at that point in time, about 3 years ago, roughly. This was when Commissioner Hardesty first came into office. So it must've been about 3 years ago. And at that point in time, we were advocating for, rather than the reasonable person standard we have right now, I believe was more the lines of a preponderance of the evidence.
Yes, there was a recommendation that came out of the previous incarnation of this group. I think we just called it the policy work group, not the policy and outreach work group. It was before those two merged. And yes, there was a recommendation made, and that paper is still out there. And I think it was at our, time is really confusing to me right now, but I believe it was at our, was it our October meeting or our September meeting that we discussed it, and we had our former chair, Kristen Malone, come back and kind of talk about where things had been left with that. So it feels, that wasn't that long ago. I was going to say it still feels fresh, but nothing that happened before last week feels fresh to me at the moment. But yeah, I think that people are feeling kind of primed for that. And the charge has been to kind of bring that back to the commissioners' minds and the meetings that we have with them to see what possible next steps could be.
And so how do you view this process? Do we need to review that recommendation in light of any kind of newer events and edit or change it? Or is it more of an outreach effort where we need to kind of bring it forth to the newly elected commissioners as well that might not know enough about it?
I mean, I don't think that it needs to be changed, but you know, other people might have different opinions on that. But I think that Candace's suggestion last night, our chair's suggestion last night, that we do put together just a sort of one page on that for community outreach purposes would be helpful. And so that's something I think that we can take on. I don't know what would necessarily provoke a review of that, unless you're just talking about passage of time.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It seemed that a recommendation is still what we're pursuing right now. I just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. Okay, so how about this? We do a one pager summary of that prior recommendation. And parliamentarian Irene, if you have that recommendation, could you email it again? I'm not sure if I still have it, to be honest.
Are you talking about the trying to think of which one you're referring to?
Yeah, that's I don't have a recommendation from the CRC on what that the new standard review would be. I know it's been discussed and I remember being a part of those discussions, but if there was an actual recommendation or something written down as to what that would be, I don't know whether that's like in your email chain or otherwise, because I don't think I have that paper.
Okay. Dan just sent it.
Oh, thank
Dan just posted it and it's on the city's website, on the city's website.
Right. It is on our website. I wasn't sure which one you were referring to. Thank you, Dan.
Perfect. That's
yeah, actually, you know, I had to go to archive.org to find it because the new city website is really hard to navigate, but that link will get you there.
Thank you, Mr. Hamelman. Okay, so lengthy document, but I think a lot of it is references and other materials used to come to that decision or recommendation, I should say. Looks like the actual recommendation is about three pages with some recommended code changes that are beyond that. How about this, Julie, or anybody? I'll leave this open to anybody in this committee. Would somebody like to take a look at that three pager, condense it into maybe half a page that we can send out as just a general overview to the commissioners, executive summary, I guess? And then we can schedule meeting times with the commissioners to discuss just this specific issue as maybe some sort of interim transition until the new oversight board with whatever authority that they decide to implement comes on board. How does that sound? Anybody want to take a stab?
Yeah, I can do it. I think that I don't think we need to schedule meetings though with the commissioners. I think that we already have everyone's assignments, so we could just kind of send it to the CRC members and then have them discuss it at their meeting.
It's a good idea, Julie. Yeah, I agree. And then we can just send it out with this for especially with the new members. And now I consider myself a new member too, since I didn't see that recommendation. So we'll send it out, and then the next time they meet with their assigned commissioners, they can have that be a topic of conversation. I do think that this is an easy step as far as implementing real world change. This is just a code change. So all it takes is 3 out of 5 city commissioners, as I understand it, to vote together to implement this. And if it's something that people want to work toward. It could be a step toward the much lengthier and more involved process of actually setting up the new board and deciding what kind of review authority that they'll have. How does that sound to you, Mr. Handelman? I know you've been working on this in your own way. Does that seem like a good path?
Oh yeah, I fully support it. I was looking in that 94-page document that the CRC created for they got community responses, and they also got a response from the police association, which was very hostile toward the idea, claiming that they thought this was going to change their working conditions. So I don't know if the city attorneys have that. I might be able to find it too. But just so you know, it does seem like a simple thing, but this is something that people have been talking about for 14 or 15 years now, and at least, and there's been a real reluctance from the city to make the change. So, but you know, I really encourage you to move forward with it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, good point, Mr. Handelman. I think at the point when we were discussing this, we had done some research on the police contract, and it was actually fairly silent on this review process that we have here. The disciplinary process and things like that, there's certainly a lot tied into it. So, you know, having a little bit of labor background, you know, it's whether it's consistent with the agreement, so it's just in bargaining over the implementation, or whether it's inconsistent with the union contract, in which case then it needs to be renegotiated in term negotiations. So, you know, luckily we have two people in this room that can research in their free time, but what we really need is a champion at city council that wants to push this forward and get, you know, the legal review if needed. I'm sure it will be needed, but to get that legal review going and get it in front of people. So, you know, whether it's a vote or whether it's something that needs to be negotiated on can be determined. So thanks, Julie, for volunteering to summarize that, and then we'll send it out. I think if we can have one person, what we tried to do last time is to have one city commissioner take this on and put it on the agenda. We did not get any takers at that point in time. But I think now it's, you know, we have two new city commissioners. Certainly the landscape has changed. Three new city commissioners and the landscape has changed. So maybe there's more interest in reviewing this in greater extent. So we'll send that out, and in the next round of meetings in the next couple of months, definitely be able to circulate that.
Weird, the letter isn't in the packet. I remember that letter.
There's no question there's a letter. There's the PPA would not be amenable to this without a letter. That's a good plan. It looks like in the next meetings, we'll set aside some time to review the restorative justice piece and perhaps how that might impact the citizen review committee. I'd really be interested in how that might translate to the work we do. I know that there's a mediation option, which is not often taken up, but if there's a way to bring restorative justice not to just the police aspect of things, but also in the police oversight aspect, I think that'd be something worth pursuing, especially considering how few times we're able to overturn the high standard review. If there's a way to get people to feel that they've been not compensated, but feel like that the individual that has wronged them has been able to recognize that in whatever fashion, I think might be helpful to the process as well. So thanks, Jessica. We'll definitely put that on the agenda. Is there anything else on the next few months that should be on our agenda?
I have in my notes from talking to MAPS folks that two notes about surveillance kind of issues, and also issues that may arise with regards to private policing in Portland. And I feel like both of those are kind of peripheral to our purview, but also I wasn't, Jessica, do you recall more about those interests on their part?
I think less so about the surveillance piece. If my memory serves, that was sort of a brief sort of introduction to that being problematic. But and so no, I don't know. I think we probably need to get clarification, maybe through an email or something. But if there's a hope that the CRC could take that on,
yeah. I mean, I think these were just sort of interests, and they were sort of throwing out what could be possibilities, but, you know, our time is limited, and I think that we know kind of squarely within our purview what we want to focus on in the short term. Actually, short term will probably turn into long term, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, so going forward, let's at least devote half of our meetings to the restorative justice piece. Jessica, is that good with you?
That's great.
Okay.
And I will make every effort to attend that meeting next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is the day that everything falls on, but I'm going to have a strong interest. So I will try to be there, learn what I can learn.
Wonderful. And Sean Campbell is the chair of the Training Advisory Council. I'll connect the two of you by email. And he's actually a city employee now. He works, I think, with the enhanced districts like Clean and Safe and perhaps the Central East Side Council. I'm not really sure exactly what his role is, but he's some sort of liaison with that before he was a private individual working on that committee. But he's still on that committee, still the chair. And he's been at it for quite some time. Really good individual to know, has a lot of historical knowledge about these things. So hopefully the two of you will connect and see what overlap there might be there.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then if it's okay with you all, I think what I need to do at this point in time, and I'm thinking on the fly here, is hold maybe a couple special meetings, afternoon, evening meetings as time allows, to vet out some of this body-worn cameras. I did not have the Department of Justice recommendations and did not know that this was going to City Council as quickly as it is. So I think we need to kind of to get the community input on this. I think we need to have additional sessions. Is that cool with everybody? I'll try to schedule them. I'll send out an email real quick with either a poll or just some random dates to make sure that the members of this committee can be present. And then when we have a time that's available, I'll send it out to the main list, as well as in the past, I've sent it out to other interested parties, such as the Albina Ministerial Alliance, the city commissioner staff, the ACLU. There's a bunch of people that I sent out the invites to in the past. Some of them showed up, some did not, but I'll spread the information far and wide, but please, in your own circles, let them know about it also. And Catherine Lindsay. Catherine, are you on our email list? Did you get a notice about this meeting through that? Okay. Irene, we have Catherine's email address there.
Thank you. I will send the link where people can sign up for it.
Okay, great. So yeah, if you're on our email list, I think we'll send it out to the same list as well as the additional parties mentioned. And hopefully we'll have a good turnout when it comes to discussions about this. Sorry about being a little bit on the fly with that. The February timeframe kind of took me for a loop, and I'm trying to understand if that's at all feasible. But I do think we need to provide alternative times so people that are working and can't come to our lunch hour can meet perhaps in the afternoons or evenings in order to hear what our work has been and provide input on that. Sarah?
Oh, I just wanted to be clear, February isn't the end of the input process by any means. There's a lot of work going on. They just wanted some initial public input because the police negotiations are going on and, you know, some of this has to start moving, but the policy will not be developed there will be the whole, I mean, and PPB has a whole policy process that involves citizen feedback too. So I, you know, you're not missing your chance if you don't have everything in by February by any state. So thank you.
And Vadim, if you can figure out some dates, or if we can all figure out some dates, I'm more than happy to send it to through our public notification list and make sure that, you know, we give people ample time and have several community engagement sessions or forums if you prefer, and let's get the feedback.
Yeah, I think that's great. We've done that before in the past, and it was very helpful, I think, when we had the discussions about the protests and what the community was looking for with the police response. We had a roundtable that was attended by, I think it was 70, 80 people or something like that at that point in time. So I think once we start broadcasting this, if it's of interest, we can have a bigger response in the afternoons than we do during the daytime. Okay, guys. Well, we have about 6 minutes left. I'm at the end of everything that I wanted to cover. I'd like to open it up, though, to anybody in the room for perhaps other recommendations or priority interests or things that they'd like for the policy and outreach work group to focus in on. It's January, so maybe long-term view, short-term view.
Mr. Chair, this is Dan Handelman. I posted in the chat a link to the directives website on the Bureau, on the Bureau's part of the city website. Anyway, so they have the accountability suite is up for review. And I don't know if the CRC is receiving the information from their directives project. They gave us a whole month to review these. They have red line versions showing the proposed changes they want to make, which aren't very extensive. This covers your area of purview, the internal affairs, administrative investigations, and the like. And one of the things we've been talking about for a long time at CopWatch, and you know, most of you haven't been around during all these changes, but they used to have the finding that's currently called not sustained used to be called insufficient evidence, which was a much better term because there are three findings that mean not sustained, you know? And so, but it means there's not enough evidence one way or the other to prove something. So insufficient evidence should be the title. So that's one of the comments we've made over and over again, and I don't know if CRC has time or individuals on your group have time to weigh in on that. But like I said, I posted the link there. The deadline is next Thursday, the 13th, to post your comments. And it includes in the packet previous comments made on the various directives. So you'll see the comments that we made in the past, which we're going to echo again this time. So thanks.
And I sent that email to you all, to the full CRC, earlier this week, I believe, or last week. So you've received it.
And Mr. Handelman, while I have you here, for the Police Review Board personnel selection, do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, it's interesting that a current version of that directive says IPR is going to make nominations, which isn't what the city code says. It's the auditor that makes the nomination. So we called attention to that, and they're actually proposing to change it to the auditor, and in one place is the auditor or designee, which is more accurate and should be the language throughout, I think. And there are also, there are some criteria that they're saying they're going to use to not kick people off. And I know some of you have actually been to police review boards. One of the things we're concerned about is they're worried that if somebody's biased, they could get kicked off. And I know sometimes community members are scared to bring up concerns, and or that they get their concerns dismissed. And I would hope that that would not be something they use to disqualify people from sitting on those boards. So that's the kind of thing that we're commenting on, if you want to look at that.
Okay. The bias thing sounds particularly interesting. I'll take a look and try to understand what they mean by that. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Handelman, for providing all the context today. I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate everybody else being here. Thank you very much. Please come back. We're certainly hoping to grow this work group once we have the listening sessions, whatever time frame we'll end up dealing with the recommendations. I think this is going to be a group effort. Certainly, no one individual here has the ability, the time, or the knowledge to be able to put this forth and have it be a presentation that we can make to the Citizen Review Committee as a whole, much less City Council. So I look forward to working with many of you here in the future months on these issues. Their sort of justice piece is also something that's been discussed for a long time, but it's very important. There's a lot of people that are hoping to implement a lot of those recommendations, so that I think there's better avenues than the current ones to deal with, you know, perhaps low-level crime and things that can be solved at a lower level. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to take a lot of work as well. But this is an opportunity here, and this is how I view a lot of our work. Is it's an opportunity to improve Portland, improve relations with the community and the police, improve police oversight, and make lasting changes that can be better for individuals on the streets, as well as lasting changes that can make our city function better. So I hope you all will keep on coming to these meetings and will help us out provide your very valuable input once we get into the discussions a little bit more. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Vadim.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.